continuing our study of Mark's Gospel. We're still in chapter 1. Now we're reading together. We can read from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. Subtitled in my version, Jesus Prays in a Solitary Place. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they explained, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Our prayer together. Our Father God, we are humbled as we read of the prayer life of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, please teach us to pray, as few of us are satisfied with our service for you in this matter. Open your word to us now, by your Holy Spirit's power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Each of us has been given the ability to transmit our prayers directly to the throne room of heaven, by that new and living way our Lord Jesus Christ has opened for us into the most holy place, says the writer to the Hebrews. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 has always made me ashamed even of my best efforts in prayer compared to the Lord's life. We have been looking at the earlier part of the chapter that gives us a glimpse of a day in the life of the Holy One of God. Thrilling and thoroughly exhausting. Yet our Lord has a plan for praying. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. I don't know about you, but I'm an owl. I can operate quite well, even though it's late. But very early in the morning, I have back trouble. I can't get off the bed. Those of you who are up with a lark may not have this problem. This time with the Lord early in the morning is essential for the vitality of our Christian walk and the victory of our Christian warfare. This time has been called the quiet time, personal devotions, the morning watch, and many other things. What you call it matters only a little. That you have it matters a lot. Prayer is talking with God and telling him you love him, conversing with God about all the things that are important in life, both large and small, and being assured that he is listening. That's a quote by Neil Strait. Samuel Swinburne called prayer the gymnasium of the soul. George Buttrick said, "Prayer is not a substitute for work, thinking, watching, suffering, or giving. Prayer is a support for all other efforts." Norman Grubb suggested a morning prayer. It went like this. "Good morning, God. I love you. What are you up to today? I want to be part of it." It was in 1882 at Cambridge University that the slogan appeared that said, "Remember the morning watch." Students like Hooper and Thornton found their days loaded with lectures, games, private study, and the busy student social life. Soon they discovered a flaw in their spiritual armour. A crack, if not soon closed, would create a collapse. The scheme of spending the first minutes of every new day alone with God in prayer and with Bible reading was called the morning watch. Their spiritual lives were restored, and others caught the vision, and a remarkable period of religious blessing flowed. The Cambridge Seven were part of all this before they left for missionary service around the world. One of the men had difficulty in getting up out of bed. He was so determined to spend time with the Lord each day that he set up a contraption by his bed. The vibration of an alarm clock set fishing tackle in motion, and the sheets clipped to the line moved swiftly into the air off the sleeper's body. Thornton was determined to overcome his problem with getting up to meet his God. "Perhaps all we need is a good alarm clock and an early night to make the breakthrough in what Thornton called the morning watch. We sometimes get guilt feelings about great men and women of God who got up each day at 4 a.m. or whenever. We should remember that they probably went to bed much earlier than we tend to do, as they didn't have the benefits of central heating and electric light. But I'm till 8 in the morning to God. Mr. Wesley spent 2 hours daily in prayer. He began at 4 in the morning. Of him, one who knew him well wrote, he thought prayer to be more his business than anything else. John Fletcher stained the walls of his room by the breath of his prayers. Sometimes he would pray all night, always, frequently, and with great earnestness. For his whole life was a life of prayer. I would not rise from my seat, he said, without lifting my heart to God. His greeting to a friend was always, do I meet you praying? Luther said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business, I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer. He had a motto, he that has prayed well has studied well. When I read of men like that, it shames me deeply. I don't know about you. We get involved in so much in the Christian life, but somehow prayer gets squeezed out. Let's make every effort to be like our Master, who had a plan for praying. Verse 35 also tells us that Jesus had a place for praying. He left the house and went off to a solitary place, and there he prayed. For those of us in busy households, this is good advice. Jesus went to an uninhabited, remote place to spend time praying with his Father. Having spent over 16 years as an itinerant evangelist, this action of the Lord impresses me a lot. He was in different places and homes in his traveling ministry, yet his first concern was not the sleeping arrangements, but where, after a heavy day's ministry, he would pray to his Father. It was top of the list of his priorities, whereas, I must confess, the bed I was about to fall into with a brief prayer has often been mine. A friend who teaches physical education told me that he combined his morning jogging session with his devotions, a sort of jogging with Jesus, he called it. How we do it is not as important as doing it. Maybe we should select a place and a time, like our Lord, for prayer and praise. We could say that our Lord had a passion for praying. Mark only mentions 3 of the many occasions Jesus prayed. This is the account of a prayer time very early in his ministry. The second time that Mark selects is recorded in chapter 6, verse 46. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Our Lord went up this time. He chose a mountainside for his praying for that particular day. But as in chapter 1, verse 35, he was alone with his Father at the middle of his ministry period. Then Mark tells us about the prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane just before Jesus' arrest. The Master took time, even at this stage in his ministry, to go to a specific place to pray. He goes a little farther away from his disciples to commune with God. And what a prayer! The servant of the Lord, about to become the sacrifice for the sins of the world, cries, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. We call this period of the Lord's life his passion, as he prays on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Our word passion comes from the Latin passio, which means to suffer. The Messiah's whole life involved suffering. Growing up in Nazareth, with sin and its consequences all around him, grieved him daily. His rejection by the priests and the people caused him great suffering. Then the agonies of crucifixion we can only guess at, when as in Isaiah 52, verse 14, his face was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. His prayer life wasn't easy either. He had to make plans for it, as it was his top priority. He chose a place for praying everywhere he went. His passion for praying is clear to see. From his baptism through to his cross, Jesus demonstrated the need to pray. As the great intercessor, he is now praying for us. The Holy Spirit, too, prays for us. the result of his prayer life, Mark describes in chapter 1, verse 37. Everyone is looking for you. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Jesus planned for prayer, chose a place to go for prayer, and had a passion for prayer. Will you, with me, do something about our prayer lives today? John Blanchard, who knows well the problems of being a traveling man for the Lord, said, "When you miss out on prayer, we cause disappointment to Christ, defeat to ourselves, and delight to the devil. Let's make our mark on the world for good." Let's close by reading just part of the Lord's high priestly prayer from John 17. "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." What a wonderful prayer of our Lord Jesus.